Cleveland breaking news.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Segura, Matt Wilhelm, and we are going to go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in Chad Johnson now. Chad, how are you?
Man, I'm beautiful. How's everything? Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year. We're beautiful. We're very excited about Hugh Jackson, and as a guy who played with them, tell our fans why they should be excited about Hugh Jackson being the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
I mean, what he's able to do as a coach, and I can speak from a personal perspective and a player's perspective as well, because you're getting more than just a coach. You know, Hugh Jackson is a gem. He was a gem, you know, for me, and I'm speaking in gem, G-E-M. He was a gem for me in really allowing me to see the game of football differently, you know, when he was in Cincinnati, allowing me to flourish as a receiver. And I know in Cleveland things didn't go as well as everyone would like. And with Hugh coming in and coming on board, being able to get the maximum amount of potential out of each player is what I know is going to happen, because he was able to do it. He was able to do it with me. I'm sure he'll be able to do it with them.
When you talk about his ability to connect with you, and if you look at your numbers under Hugh Jackson, 2004 to 2006, 1,274 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1,432 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1,369 yards, 7 touchdowns, just actually right in the peak of your career, that great stretch you had from 2002 to 2007. How did he reach you? And when you look at this team, and you know you've got a guy like Josh Gordon, an immense physical talent who maybe is he going to be able to help Josh Gordon?
Josh Gordon will probably finish top three in the league, again, like he did before. And he's going to pick up where he left off because of the backing he has and the familiarity with Hugh Jackson that he has with the position itself. I'm excited to see what Hugh's going to do with Johnny, because Johnny's going to probably be Johnny of old once Hugh gets a hold of him. I mean, he's that type of coach. He's that type of coach where he gets the most out of his players no matter what, and he's able to do it.
Is he and he's the kind of guy that can reach a player like Josh Gordon who's had trouble staying on the field for off the field reasons? If you were going to draw up the perfect coach for Josh Gordon, would it be Hugh Jackson?
Did you hear the key word you just said? The key word you just said was reach.
Yep.
There are a lot of coaches that can coach, but how many coaches can reach the players? How many players are going to buy into the coach's philosophy? See, that's the type of coach you're getting. You're not just getting a coach. That's why I called him a gym, because he'll be able to reach every type of player he has in that organization, including Johnny, including Josh. And I guarantee you, and I'm going on the record to say it, I guarantee you he gets the most out of his players this season.
And, Chad, moving forward, another big part of the puzzle, which I'm sure Hugh Jackson, once he's introduced as the new Cleveland Browns head football coach, is getting on and collecting a staff. Just knowing Hugh, the way that you talk about him, the way that many people in the industry talk about him, he's probably going to put together a very star-studded staff to join him here in Cleveland on this venture.
Right, I'm sure he is. And it's hard for me to talk about what he would choose or anything of that nature from a coaching perspective, but when I think of coaches, I think of an engine. In order for an engine to work, all the pieces have to go together. Everything has to coincide and work as one. So I'm sure whoever he has history with, you know, as far as based on the positions and who he works well with, I'm sure that's what he's going to pick. Matter of fact, I'm coming on board. He doesn't even have to hire me. I'm just going to show up anyway.
Well, you're always welcome here, Chad. You know that. I got a place for you to stay. Come hang out in the dog bowl with us. And, yeah, get out there and help these wide receivers get to the Pro Bowl like you did every single season. Hugh Jackson was your wide receivers coach. Talk with Chad Johnson, the great wide receiver for the Bengals. So I got to ask you, what did Hugh Jackson think of all of your celebrations?
You know what? The funny thing, it got to a point where not just Hugh Jackson, but the coaches, it got to a point where they would ask what was next. The referees, the players, the coaches on opposing teams. It just got to a point where it was extremely fun, and there was the uncertainty and the unknown of what was going to happen next, because it was all fun. It was nothing malicious, you know. But the one thing about it, besides the having fun part, I was producing. I'm producing at a high level.
Yep.
Week in and week out, and making it entertaining and making it fun for the opposing team and my teammates as well.
Do you think when you look, we talked about Josh Gordon, but let's say if you were a free agent wide receiver in the National Football League, is Hugh Jackson the kind of guy that you want to go play for? Do you think that helps the Browns become more attractive to a guy like Alshon Jeffrey?
Most definitely. That's what you need. That's what you need as a player. You want a coach you can relate to. You want a coach. You want to play for a coach that understands being a player and understands both sides of the spectrum. So, example. This is a good example. It's like playing for Rex Ryan. Who wouldn't want to play for Rex Ryan? If you get where I'm going.
Yeah.
If you understand me, it's the same thing with Hugh. Without all the bravado and all of the I don't know what you call Rex. He's not as out there.
Braggadocious. Yes.
Yeah, braggadocious. But he has that same feel and aura to him. You just want to just run through a wall for him. You just want to. Then that's the way it was with me. There were times when I was down or I have a bad game, and Hugh would get me so riled up and talk about a DB, talk about how a DB was so great. He would get in my head and play mind games with me and fool me into playing better than I was. And he just had little tricks and little stuff that he used to do, man. And it would just get me going. And that's one of the reasons why I pin all my success, you know, through his tenure with me. It's all due to him. I could play the game of football, because I had the talent. Yes, I had the skill to do it. But having you allow me to see the game differently gave me a different vision, and that's why I was so successful under him.
And another different vision and other tricks that he might have up his sleeve is obviously knowing this division very well. And I know the path of least resistance to success in the National Football League and hoisting that trophy is winning your division. So to grab a coach from a rival in Cincinnati and make him your head coach, a coordinator that's put together plans against the Ravens, against Paul Gunther in practice, and against the Pittsburgh Steelers as well, is got to be a big play for the Cleveland Browns to pick a guy from inside the division to make him your head coach.
Most definitely. Most definitely. If anything, he's already one up. He's already one up on any other coach that they would have hired. He's already one up. Familiarity with all three other division opponents, offensively and defensively.
Yep.
He knows what he has to work with there. You have the draft coming up, and all you're going to do is you're going to get better year in and year out. With time, especially having a coach of this magnitude and what he's able to do as far as reaching out to the players, being able to get the most out of them, the same way he did me. I mean, the sky's the limit over there in Cleveland, and I really think this is a really, really good choice by the organization. And then with time, I'd say year or two tops, it's going to be a different ballgame.
We certainly hope so. Talking with Chad Johnson, the great receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, who was with Hugh Jackson down there. And people may not realize, he was also the quarterback coach under John Harbaugh for the Ravens from 2008 to 2009. So he's worked directly with Flacco. He's worked directly with Dalton, two of the quarterbacks you have to face twice a year. Chad, serious question, though. Would you be open? Is coaching something you ever wanted to get into to kind of share that knowledge? Because I hear the passion that you have for the game.
Yeah, see, I'm not sure why I haven't. I know the game of football, the game of playing receiver. I understand the craft. I understand every little nuance from running routes to getting open, understanding leverage, understanding coverages. The problem with me coaching is I think there are so many different obstacles that I would have to overcome just to even get the opportunity to give that knowledge to the young guys that's in Cleveland. You know, I would love to be able to come and help Josh and talk with Travis Benjamin and all those receivers and allow them to see the vision I had when I played, where I felt the game was extremely easy at one point, where the game that society or coaches that everyone talks about it being so fast, the game was so slow to me at maybe 4 or 5 years in my career, it felt easy. I would love to be able to work with them on their routes, their footwork, and just all that small stuff that made me great at that time and pass the knowledge on. But I think it's not that easy. It's not that easy, but I would love to.
Well, we got to talk to Hugh. We got to let Hugh know. We got to make sure. I'm sure you still talk to him. You got to let him know. Say you're interested. We'd love to have you up here. And speaking of Travis Benjamin, what did you think of him this season? And what kind of receiver do you think he can develop into?
He can develop one of the best easily. He can develop in one of the best easily. Being able to play on the outside, being able to play on the inside. He plays. He can do it all. He can run. You know. He can. All you need is consistency at the quarterback position, and he'll be just fine.
And how much, Chad, does hiring a guy like Hugh Jackson change your personal perspective about the Cleveland Browns? Obviously, you played on the Bengals side, mm-hmm. looking at the Browns. You look mm-hmm. at the Browns a certain way. They mm-hmm. now go out with Jimmy Haslam, Sashi Brown, as a make the decision to bring Hugh Jackson in as a head coach. It now mm-hmm. has to change your perspective and the national perspective of what the Browns are going to be capable of in years to come.
Well, I think what the Browns are doing is they want to contend. They want to contend. So what's the best choice? What is the right move for us to do as an organization going forward to be a contender? How do we get back to respectability in the division?
Right.
The first move is your head coach. And they made the right move. And Hugh will take care of the rest.
We certainly love that. Chad, I want to thank you very much for your time today. And hopefully we're talking to you a little bit more in the future about this Browns team. And it's good to kind of mm-hmm. get your perspective. And the story that I really loved was how he would get in your head and start talking about how great the DBs were. And you talked how he just reaches the guys. He can connect with you.
Yeah, he was. I can't say the curse word, but he was mind-effing me, if you know what I mean.
And he was doing it for success. Yeah, he reached you, and the way that he had to reach you, though, was significantly different than the way that he'd have to reach a guy with a personality like T.J. Houshmandzadeh, right?
Yeah, most definitely. But what he's able to do, man, and – and just watch what he's able to do with Johnny. That's what I want you to see, because he has experience of dealing with all types of personalities, egos, whatever you want to call it. He's already done it all. He's done it all, especially having dealt with me and TJ. He's done it all.
Yeah, and even so Chris Henry. He had Chris Henry playing at a high level.
Well, Chris, and he got the most out of Chris too.
Yeah,
he'll be able to do the same thing there in Cleveland.
Certainly hope so. Chad, thank you so much for the time, and hopefully maybe now for the first time in your career you'll be a little bit of a Browns fan, and if we get you up here working with these receivers, we'll get you all the way.
Hey, it would be fun. You just talk to the GM, and tell him to give me the green light, and then I will gladly come down there, man, and give that knowledge.
All right, we'll talk to Sashi Brown. Hugh, he's going to be here today. Chad, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it.
All right, I love you. I love you guys.
I love you, too. You can follow him, of course, at @OchoCinco on Twitter. He's actually a phenomenal Twitter follow.
Is he?
Phenomenal. Okay. Prolific in his tweets.
Wow.
Yes. Good stuff there. If you missed it, it'll be available on ClevelandBrowns.com and, of course, the Browns mobile app later. Still to come, your reaction. Hugh Jackson finalizing the deal to become the head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Peter King at 2:30. Zagern Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
ESPN Cleveland, breaking news.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Zagura, and Wilhelm. I got to tell you, Matt, a lot of fun there with Ocho Cinco. Do you remember playing against him? You guys had to have played against him when you were in San Diego.
I do, but I don't. I don't remember the instance. I can tell you that I don't think he ever went off against us. We did our best against Ocho Cinco. And what's funny is he kind of outed himself on why he would never be hired as a coach. Because of the personality that he is. He's like, I don't know who to ever want to talk to me. I can do all these things, but overcoming, who he is, the personality that he is,
sure.
the backlash that might come with a guy like that, he kind of outed himself.
Well, Hugh would be the guy that knows how to get the best of him.
You
would be
100%.
The guy could reach him.
But he's got to work with the players, not be monitoring the coaches.
Yeah, yes, indeed. But he could be, it certainly would be a fun.
He's a guy that can come, I would say, would come in for 3 to 5 days, on his own dime and literally during training camp or OTAs.
We could fly him up here. I'll fly
whatever,
him up here.
Whatever, whatever. I'm not saying whoever pays for it, right? Fine. But I'm just meant to come for 3 to 5 days.
We can at least give him a free willy up
and
here.
Spend his own time, helping these receivers as a favor to Hugh.
Yeah, I love it. And I like just how he really feels that – he could reach a guy like Josh Gordon, be so good for him. All the reports are coming out, and again, we're not going to make any judgment on it whatsoever. He was talking about he wants to see him with Johnny Manziel. I don't know if we're going to get that chance. Who knows? I think a lot of that has to do with Johnny, but maybe Hugh has a strong feeling. I have no idea. But I do think Ocho Cinco, a great interview, great guy. I had an opportunity to work with him down at CBS. This is a guy, when he was like, I love you guys, that's how he is. He loves people. He loves being alive. I think that, he's had some ups and downs in his life, but he's a guy who just has a zest for life that I think would be infectious. He's just a happy guy.
I agree. And it's like, it's to this, and I'm comparing apples to apples, but it's more like apples to oranges, or orange to a tangerine. But the same way Phillip Rivers on the field comes off a certain way, because I get asked that question a lot. Is Phillip Rivers really that fiery, da 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 da? I go, no. He's the calmest, like, great father, good person, you know, Catholic, 8 children. You would never
Polo
think
ties.
That. Polo, you'd never think that by the way he plays and talks
so
smack
fiery.
On the football field. I think Chad is in the same light. What you saw on the field, you know, the outlandish behavior, the talking the smack, and the this, that, and the other thing, and what he represented. Of course, Browns, Bengals, you have a perspective about him. But then off the field, it's just like, again, loves people. The guy you
Nicest
always want,
guy.
The one you always want to have in your corner because he's such a good person.
Yes. Great guy. All right, 216-578-0850. Jimmy and Naughton, welcome to the show.
That was awesome.
How you doing?
Good. How you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, great day. I called you guys last week after Paul got hired or wherever it was.
Uh-huh, Deep
and,
Augusta.
Told you I was super excited about everything. And,
me too.
You know, caught a little flack from my boys about it because they heard me, but I think this is great. Obviously, you know, this will give us a chance to, you know, push the reset button, get Johnny out of here, and actually get down to the nitty gritty of winning some football games. And the fanfare that we have around Hugh being hired now is way better because when Mike was here, no one even was like, yay. Nobody. No one even got his back. No one said anything. So I just want to say one thing to all the Bengal fans out there. I know you always say, who dat? I'm going to tell you, Hugh dat. That's it.
Hugh dat. I've seen that pop up on Twitter a few times. Hugh dat. Thank you. John in Dallas, welcome.
I wish Chad would have mentioned what Coach is going to do without Johnny, because I don't think there's no way Jimmy sat him down and he says, yeah, keep Johnny.
Well, we're seeing all the reports, and again, I given that this is the Cleveland Browns show, I can't comment on that. I don't know anything.
No, I know. We're just talking two scenarios here.
Yeah, I think we're going to look at my point, and I think Chad's point is he's going to help any quarterback. If you go and look at Joe Flacco, he helped Joe Flacco significantly. If you look at Andy Dalton, he's helped him significantly. And he with Carson Palmer, he and it also tells me, when you think about it, what's his kind of quarterback? A pocket passer who's smart and can get the football out quickly. Does you know, he's got a variation in arm strengths with Andy Dalton to Flacco, probably with Palmer closer to Flacco than Dalton in terms of arm strength. But he wants a guy who's going to win from the pocket, decipher information, and make good decisions with the football. And I think
strikes right there against Johnny, though, smart and in the pocket.
Well, I think that Hugh Jackson is going to do a good job, I think, with the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. Whoever that may be. And we don't know that yet. We have no idea. 216-578-0850. Mike in Youngstown. Our guy Mike. What's up, man?
Good, gentlemen. Have a great show so far.
Thank
Brings
you.
Brings back a couple of memories. I did a camp up at Whitehall up in Columbus, and Chad was there. There was a bunch of them there. But anyway, it's kind of sad to think back of one of the best that could have been in Cincinnati, if his life would have taken him down a different path, was Omar Henry. He was a pretty good guy. But what I wanted to go, I'm so elated that they're getting Hugh Jackson. I'm elated because the fact that when he went into Oakland, I remember him going 8-8, but I don't remember the specifics because I'm not an Oakland fan. But I looked at the roster, and he did a really, really good job to get to 8-8, which makes things kind of exciting. I would be willing to, as you guys say, go to the window. I got to believe in those two meetings that there was a few names that popped up about, a general manager. And the biggest part that I like about the whole thing is that I believe that Alex Mack, Joe Thomas, even Schwartz, and some of the people that may be in limbo and not knowing, I don't know how Cleveland, and I know there's going to be a lot of naysayers, but I don't know how Cleveland can't rally around you because he's at the right time when we need somebody of his stature, the way he works with players, you know, from what I'm looking at from the outside in. And I'm elated. I can't say anything else other than enjoy the show. Keep up the good work and keep up the good guests.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Let's go to Dave in Austintown now.
Hey, guys. I just want to say that I've been a Browns fan and president of the Browns backers. And this is an awesome hire. And I just got a text from BNR that he made it perfectly clear that he will move on without Johnny Manziel. And I kind of like that idea because it's been nothing but a distraction, and now we can just start anew.
We'll find out. Again, I don't know. We'll find out when that becomes official one way or the other. We'll know what's going on with Johnny Manziel and his future here. But, I believe Hugh Jackson will get the best out of the offense and the quarterback position.
Oh, yes.
With anybody here. Let's go now to Matt in Bainbridge. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good, man.
Good.
Ain't game drive, but I'm going to have cautious optimism. I'm glad we got him because he does have some experience. And I hope it transfers, and again, with this analytics and this kind of thing, he does have a say because, like you told earlier on the show, he does have an interest in a couple quarterbacks coming out of the college draft this upcoming season.
Yes. And the Browns are in a good position to get the one that they want.
Well, Haslam actually went out on a limb and got the one he wanted, and I think that's a good start.
Yep.
So I want him to keep on getting it. No knock on Chad, you know. He's a good dude, no doubt in my mind. But to say that he's going to elevate Manziel would be like, because he's kind of like out there.
We don't even need to focus on Johnny Manziel right now. Let's focus on Hugh Jackson, and whoever is the quarterback of the Browns will be the quarterback of the Browns. I don't think we need to focus on Johnny Manziel right now. There's no points, all speculation at this point, whether he's here, whether he's not here, what he would do. I'm in the let's see it mode. And one thing that we have seen is Hugh Jackson have success coordinating offenses in the National Football League. He hasn't coached one season in the NFL. Wasn't a losing season. Wasn't a winning
right.
season. Wasn't a losing season with an Oakland Raiders team that he gave them the best record that they have had since 2002 at that point. We're going to take a break now. We're going to talk to Peter King, hopefully get the lowdown on how this all went down and, of course, his thoughts on the Browns hiring of Hugh Jackson as their head coach on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
ESPN Cleveland, breaking news.
The Browns finalizing the deal to make Hugh Jackson their head coach. That's the big news today. And to talk about it, the great Peter King joins us via the Ohio Business Machines hotline. Peter, welcome to the show.
My pleasure. How are you?
We're great. Happy to have you with us. And let's just start with, before we get into the story of how it came to be, your reaction to Hugh Jackson being named the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
Well, in my opinion, Hugh Jackson was the best of the sort of the hot candidates this year. The guys who were getting a lot of traction out on the interview circuit, was very high on them. I think that a couple of things really are going to distinguish him. Number one, I think he's really tough. I think one of the things that you have to be if you're going to coach the Cleveland Browns, recent history has shown that there's going to be a lot of adversity, both on the field and off, and you just got to be able to take it. And Hugh Jackson can do that. I mean, he worked for the Raiders. He had one of the best seasons, in recent Raider history. The Raiders have been awful for years. He was at least 8-8. I think in Cincinnati, his history there is that I think he made Andy Dalton appreciably better.
Yeah.
And I'm high on him. I'm bullish on him. I think that, assuming they get the contract done, that it's a good deal for the Browns and a good deal for Hugh Jackson.
So how did this come to be? Because, we'd heard the second interview and then maybe he was going to New York. How did it come to be, if there's any kind of behind-the-scenes process that you know about, how Hugh Jackson came here?
I don't know about it. I really don't. I don't know. I did talk to Hugh once over the weekend. It was after he had done both his interviews. He was exhausted. But I had not, so we didn't really talk very much in depth. But he just said he's very tired, enjoyed his meeting with the Browns, and we'll see what happens. But you know, all I know is this, and I've told a bunch of people this afternoon, that, you know, Hugh Jackson wanted to be a head coach in the NFL. A lot of people wonder, well, geez, why didn't he wait and interview with the Giants? Well, because he had the bird in the hand. He had one of the 32 head coaching offers in the league, and there was no guarantee that Tampa or New York or San Francisco or anybody was going to make him an offer. So obviously he must have felt good about, you know, the Browns' new hierarchy in taking the job, and he also must have felt good about his personnel and whatever authority he was going to have when it came down to decisions on the roster, particularly decisions at quarterback.
Do you think the fact that the Browns got their guy in Hugh Jackson helps the perception of, you know, Jimmy Haslam and Dee Haslam league-wide, Sashi Brown in his kind of, this is his first major task as the Executive Vice President of Football Operations and its success, and also Paul DePodesta, who Tom Verducci wrote a great article about on your website, Monday Morning Quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know that it really matters all that much. I think everybody that I know in the league, I mean, look, most people who know Hugh Jackson thought that if somebody offered him a job and the terms were acceptable to him, he was just going to take it. He wasn't going to wait for other jobs to open up. He understands, I'm sure, the monstrous job that's in front of him. But tell me, are there any jobs out there that are open that are great jobs? I mean, everybody says the New York Giants job is a great job. They have a terrible defense. They got a 35-year-old quarterback. Right. And they've drafted poorly in the last few years. So, I obviously the stability there is one thing. But, I mean, the only point I would make is that, you know, in the wake of what happened in Cleveland this year, the one thing I keep telling people, you know, none of all of this stuff that everybody talks about with the Browns, dysfunction and all this other stuff, it doesn't matter. You could hire Bill Walsh to be your head coach and Bill Belichick to be your defensive coordinator. If you don't have a quarterback, you're not winning in the NFL,
Bingo.
Period. And so,
yes.
You know, everybody just needs to sort of remember that, you know, this is the NFL in 2016. And if you're scotch taping your quarterback together, you're going to be lucky to win 5 or 6 games. And the Browns have seen it year after year after year.
Peter, being the second hire of the vacancies out there in the National Football League, do you assume that Hugh Jackson will swiftly put together a staff, you know, probably filled with some high character individuals, a lot like himself, that fit, you know, the job, the monstrous job, as you said, ahead of us here in Cleveland, and then swiftly move on to some of those valuations, both in free agency and the NFL draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, his biggest decision and his biggest hire, and look, all guys who are candidates to be head coaches have people in mind for their jobs. And so his most important hire is going to be his defensive coordinator. Yeah. I don't know who it's going to be, but that's going to be vital. And then I'm sure he's already got in his mind, I've seen reported this afternoon, that he has told the Browns he doesn't want Johnny Manziel. Who could blame him? But I don't know that for sure. I've just seen it reported this afternoon. But obviously that's going to be an important decision. If I were him, you know, I would absolutely bring Josh McCown back. And then I would have McCown as one of my mentors for whoever, Jared Goff, Paxton Lynch, whoever it's going to be. But, you know, the Browns have to take a quarterback at number 2. And, you know, that's the way I'd move forward. But, you know, there's 4 months to decide, almost 4 months to decide what you're going to do in that regard. He's got to take care of other things in the next few days.
Can I just have you reiterate one thing or just expand on the Browns must take a quarterback at number two? Because I, you know, argue with fans here, and everybody wants Joey Bosa. You see the Ohio State connection, and he's the next J.J. Watt. Well, J.J. Watt was in the playoffs this year. They also had DeAndre Hopkins, one of the great receivers, and they were in no way, shape, or form a threat not only to win that game but to win the Super Bowl because they didn't have a quarterback. If you like a quarterback, that's the league, right, Peter?
I mean, look, Brian Hoyer is one of the great guys in the league as a person. You know, you guys know that. He was in Cleveland, just a really, really good person.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he should be a backup quarterback in the NFL or a caretaker quarterback while you prepare another guy. And, you know, so you can make the playoffs, but without solving your quarterback situation, you know, with somebody who is either Alex Smith or north of him.
Yep.
You have not finished your team. You haven't finished the formation of your team. So, I feel for the last few years when the Browns have thought that they had the quarterback situation, the potential for a long-term solution, especially with the draft in 2014, but they don't. So they're obviously going to have to take one. Lucky for them, it looks to be either an average or above average year for quarterbacks, and there will be one or two at the top that seem to have some good potential.
Yep.
And Peter, last question for me, and it goes back to your comments, two comments ago about defensive coordinator being one of the most vital hires. And I'm asking you as a national guy who has, you know, perspective throughout the league, do you assume or are there any assumptions that he would bring in a 4-3 defensive coordinator or retain, you know, some of the concept we've been using over the last couple of years with Mike Pettine and have a 3-4 defensive coordinator? Because he's kind of had both going on at multiple places in his career.
Right. That's a great question. I don't know the answer to that. I think that he is more likely because, listen, most guys who are head coaches in waiting have conversations with friends of theirs in the business who are coaches. And so I would assume that he has his eye on a particular defensive coordinator who he thinks he can bring with him.
Uh-huh.
And if that guy is a fervent 3-4 guy, they'll probably play 3-4. If he's a fervent 4-3 guy, then they'll play 4-3. But just remember, I think this is less important today than it has been at a lot of points in the past for this reason. You even see a Bill Belichick now. You see so many coaches right now just morphing from one to the other down after down in an average game. And of course, philosophically, you know, what you're going to play on first down determines kind of what you are. But I think that most teams now have players that can, that can go from one to another. So my gut feeling is that's not a huge deal. And that Jackson probably is going to hire the guy who he wants, regardless of whether he's a 3-4 or 4-3.
Talk with Peter King for Monday Morning Quarterback, Sports Illustrated, NBC, all over the place. Peter, when you have talked to people throughout this process, what were the impressions, if any, that you have kind of heard through the grapevine of Sashi and Paul DePodesta in these meetings with the head coaching candidates and what this organization is going to look like?
I think everybody, I don't think people out there really know, because Jimmy Haslam has, you know, in the last week has really surprised a lot of people. Now the last 9 or 10 days has really surprised people, both with the elevation of Brown and certainly with the hire of DePodesta. I don't know, because the Browns really have been pretty hush-hush on what exactly the jobs are with both guys and how it's going to work. And, you know, you've had a lot of people wonder, well, what general manager come in when everybody else has the power and you're being hired last.
Right.
Well, I think the general manager, I think what they want the general manager in this organization to be is a miner of talent.
Yep, head scout.
You know, that's going to be the most important thing for this general manager. And so it's going to have to be somebody who's fairly low ego, and it's going to have to be somebody who can work in concert with others. Because, look, you're not bringing a Bill Polian type, a Ron Wolf type, who
right.
is going to be the all-powerful Oz. It's got to be somebody who is going to be able to contribute to the overall process of putting a 53-man roster together and doesn't need to have the power to do that. And there are some of those guys who really, I think would be really, really interesting. I think the most important thing for the Browns right now is to get a guy with a proven track record. I mean, a guy who, at least in my opinion, has a good record, especially in the middle and later rounds in the draft. One guy, I don't know if he's going to be a candidate there, but one guy who I think is really ready is Steve Keim's assistant in Arizona, Terry McDonough.
Uh-huh.
And he's a guy who, you know, you look at the drafts in Arizona the last 2-3 years, you look at the middle and later round guys, and you see John Brown and J.J. Nelson, Rodney Gunter, who came out of nowhere at Delaware State to start for them on the defensive line when he wasn't even on other people's draft boards. So, to me, look, I don't mean to be overly simplistic, but everybody knows that Jared Goff and Paxton Lynch are good players and good prospects. So they'll pick one of those, they'll get coached, and we'll see what happens. But you better hit on your share of fourth, fifth, sixth rounders, because if you don't, that's where smart personnel teams, in my opinion, like Baltimore, have really gained an advantage over the years. So
yep.
that would just be my thought about the GM and the whole personnel side.
Peter, we appreciate the time. I know you got to run, but thanks so much. Final question, it can be just a one-word answer. Would you consider this, given the available candidates for the Browns and what this team has been, where they've been, getting Hugh Jackson to be a home run hire?
It's a superb hire. I would have hired Hugh Jackson in a heartbeat if I had an opening this year, and to me, I think it's a great hire for the Browns.
Peter, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
All right. The great Peter King, our guest here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, calling it a superb hire, the hire that he would have made if given the chance. Of course, you can always follow him at @SI_PeterKing, MondayMorningQuarterback.SI.com. That's MMQB.SI.com. Great article there for those who haven't read it yet on Paul DePodesta by Tom Verducci. But the response to this nationally is as positive as anything we've seen for the Browns. Connor Orr at the NFL.com, who we had on, who was fired up about the Sashi Brown promotion and the DePodesta hire, just wrote an article, and the title is Hugh Jackson Hire Represents Huge Coup for the Browns. That's at NFL.com. I retweeted that. You can get that on my Twitter, at Nathan Zagura. All right, when we come back, we are going to wrap it up. Final thoughts on this exciting day. Gibbs, I want to hear your thoughts, my brother, about Hugh Jackson here on CBD.
ESPN Cleveland, breaking news.
Welcome back. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Making news, Hugh Jackson.
16th head coach of the Cleveland Browns to be announced later today here in Berea. We're told the press conference will be today. Time to be disclosed when this all becomes official. They're finalizing it. We will let you know. Gibbs, we haven't gotten to hear from you. You're always a wait and see, a show me. You're like Missouri, the show me state. So what do you think about this?
I like Missouri. I've had good times in Missouri.
I had the great, best barbecue ever.
I like it. I really like it. I can't believe they got their number one choice. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. I just felt like, I don't know, maybe it's just a history with Hugh Jackson or with other coaches, you know, turning this team down. Great hire. I like Hugh as an offensive mind. I think you needed an offensive coach. No nonsense. You know, let's
reach the players.
Let's go. Let's get to work here. Let's get some stuff done. I do like the hire.
Does the fact that a guy like Hugh Jackson would come here give you more confidence in Sashi and DePodesta and what the Browns are trying to put together?
It wasn't a non-confident thing. I just the analytics stuff, I'm still in a wait-and-see mode. Because it's never been tried in the National Football League. We don't know if it's going to work in the NFL or not.
It's not, and again, it's not going to be what was happening in baseball. Totally different sports. It's about problem solving, information processing that gives you consistently better outcomes. And the Patriots are doing it. Don't let anybody fool you. The Patriots are doing this stuff.
Great. This is the first time that we've heard of our team doing it, or any team in the National Football League for that matter. I love the Hugh Jackson hire.
Me too.
I really do. I think that, you know, get your quarterback. Now go get your quarterback that you want. Hugh and Sashi, get together. Go get it. Maybe it's not through the draft. You know, everybody keeps talking about who we need to draft. Maybe it's not through the draft.
What's going to be available via free agency?
Or via trade,
Kaepernick,
my friend.
RG3. I think he wants a pocket passer. I could be wrong. But just looking
that
at
would
who
make
he's
the most
worked
sense.
With. That's what I think would be the best thing for his offense. And we've seen, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, that's his problem. He cannot be a pocket passer. But we'll see.
I mean, in terms of the offense, we just have a guy now that realizes and is going to spearhead the fact that this is a scoring league. And defense is fine. Running the ball is fine. You got to throw the ball to win games.
Yep.
You got to score points. You need playmakers on that side of the football.
I love this. Joe Reedy, who we all know covers the Bengals.
Love Reedy.
What will Hugh be like? Think Mike Zimmer approach, but with an offensive mind and approach. He expects men on his team and won't take beep. That's what this team needs.
Yes.
And you talked about it at length from a player. There were times where I felt like your brain was falling out of the back of your head from what you were seeing in the approach.
And it was the little things.
Yes.
It was the little things, you know, that led and spills over into your approach to your 16 opportunities to prove yourself.
And we'll certainly see. Keep it tuned to ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app for the very latest on this, for the official announcement, the time for the press conference to introduce Hugh Jackson as the next head coach of the Cleveland Browns. Enjoy this one today, Dog Pound. The Browns got their guy, and I know it's the guy that many of you wanted. He knows this division. He's been a head coach. He was the guy that this search committee targeted, and they got him. So I'm excited that we can see what's going to happen going forward. Today's a step in the process for the Cleveland Browns, but I think a big one, getting Hugh Jackson as their head coach.
And the breaking news continues on ESPN 850. Adam Schefter set to join the boys here.
Yes, very nice. Very nice. So keep it tuned for the Golden Boys. Big thank you to Chad Johnson. Big thank you, of course, to Peter King. Thank you to you, Gibbs. And, of course, you, my good friend Matt Wilhelm. I am Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.